Man, that video gets me. I was watching it last night. I was just bawling my eyes out. It's just amazing, you know, the things that we think of ourselves as a mom and then what our children see in us. And man, we need to be reminded the way that people see us as a mom. Amen. So anyway, happy Mother's Day. I'm excited to speak to you guys this morning. I've been telling myself that for about 2 weeks. I'm excited to do this. Kind of like, you know, helping myself to realize that I'm excited to do this, but I really am. It's a privilege. This is the first time that I'm preaching with this headset. I don't know if this is a good idea to give a Cajun like full permission to speak with their hands, but we're going to experience that today. But I'm excited, and I love Mother's Day, and we have so many different kinds of moms in here today. We have brand new moms. I see Abigail is here with baby Anderson this morning. We have brand new moms. We have expecting moms. We have women that are pregnant with their first baby. My goodness, they have no idea what's fixing to happen in such an amazing, amazing way, right? We have grandmothers in the house. Yeah, we love our grandmoms. We have moms who are hopeful to be a mom one day. And my favorite is we have gap fillers. And if you've ever heard me tell my story before, I'm a product of being a gap filler. Someone stood in the gap where I didn't have a mom. Many women stood in the gap and mothered me and loved me and encouraged me and pushed me to have confidence and pushed me to be the best that I could be. And so I honor all of you this morning, wherever you fit into that. But this Mother's Day weekend, I found myself picking up boys that didn't smell the greatest from football. Yeah, so this is my Mother's Day weekend. I found myself on Saturday hollering and screaming maybe a little bit too much at the white and maroon scrimmage out at Childs High School at that football game. It was awesome. We have been practicing for dance tryouts with Ella Pearl, and so we've been doing that. And so it's so funny, you know, the weekend that you get to be celebrated, the things that you're doing. But you know what? I would not want to be any place other than the middle of all of that. I mean, I love every minute of it. I take advantage of being in the middle of every moment with my kids. And many people tell Wade and I often, you need to enjoy this. It seems crazy. You need to enjoy it because one day this is not going to be there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll sit around and go, oh, my goodness. You know, this is a lot. This is a lot. But I want to take every minute to enjoy it. But, you know, for moms, we want to honor you. And new mom, I want to tell you that you can make it. You know, when you first become a new mom, sometimes you wonder, can I make it or not? New mom, you can make it. You know, for that expected mom, you're going to do fine. It's going to be okay. So many worries, right? For our grandmothers here in the room, we need your example. And don't give up on still being a great example. Hopeful moms, you need to know God is true. His word is real. And don't give up hope. Amen. And then for our gap fillers, we need you more than ever. More than ever, we need your heart to be open. We need your eyes to be looking. Because there are so many children around us that just need encouragement, need some loving. So make sure that you're keeping your eyes open, but we just honor you in whatever category you find yourself in today. Mother's Day, it's a great, great day. But as we get started, I want to start with a story about Hannah. And Hannah is one of the two wives of Elkanah. So there's Hannah, and the other wife is Peninnah. And here's the difference between Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah desired children. She wanted children so bad. It was her desire. It was something that she looked forward to and yearned for. And Peninnah, Elkanah's second wife, had children. And so we're going to read a story, and we're going to get started. But we're going to talk about Hannah today. And as we get started, I need you to know this would not be going down in the Moran house, right? We don't have an extra wife. We're not rolling like that in the Moran house. There's only room for one wife at the Moran house. I'm fully fulfilling that. Amen? So what we're going to do, we're going to read out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. If you have a Bible, let's turn there. If not, they're going to pop it up on the screen for us here. Also, I need you to know that I'm still in denial that I need glasses. right? So I have these cheaters at home that I did not bring with me. So if you start seeing me do this number, don't laugh, okay? So I'm going to accept it here soon that I need to put on my glasses. But here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. Every year, this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God of the angel armies. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the priest of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings of the sacrificial meal around to his wife Peninna and all her children, but always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. Her husband, Elkanah, said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not of more worth to you than 10 sons?" So Hannah ate. Then she pulled herself together, slipped away quietly, and entered the sanctuary. My favorite part of this verse is, then she pulled herself together. So many of us find ourselves in a place that we need to pull ourselves together. I think the body of Christ as a whole needs to get to the place where we have got to pull ourselves together and enter into the sanctuary where we can be close to God and hear his voice. So today I want to not just talk to moms, but I want to talk to everyone in this room about confidence, something that we all need, confidence. So this woman, Hannah, she found herself in a very vulnerable place. She's overwhelmed with all kind of feelings. She feels inadequate because she hasn't been able to have children. She's got this rival wife, you know, so a lot of us can think of, you know, we have siblings and friends and different things like this, but she is in a house with this other wife that has what Hannah thinks is all the things that she wants, right? And so there is so much negativity. She's insecure. She's negative about herself. She's negative about her life. She probably thinks to herself, this was not the plan. This is not how I thought everything was going to turn out, right? I mean, how many of us can relate to sitting and really looking at where we're at and thinking to ourselves, this is not the plan. This is not how I had it all mapped out. I can remember as a child thinking, I know for a fact this is not the plan. Right? I can remember even whenever Wade and I were just married, you know, different things are happening. I'm like, this is not all the dreams we sat down when we were engaged and, you know, just in love and we wrote everything out because that's responsible. And like, that's not what was happening. That was not the plan. This is not the plan, right? And so Hannah's life is not the way that she had planned it. I think that there's so much negativity that we're facing, especially when it comes to ourselves. We are uncertain about our abilities. We think that we know how to do something and then something happens and then we begin to question ourselves. We are unsure about our future because, again, the plans that I had, this is not what it looks like anymore. So we're uncertain about our future. We feel inadequate. We feel insecure around others. Lack of confidence maybe in the things that we do or the way that we look. And so I wonder why we cannot be confident and walk in confidence that God has given us. And so what I want to do for just a minute is think about and compare ourselves with Hannah and the things that she went through. One thing that Hannah dealt with was comparison. She was constantly comparing herself to Peninna. I'm sure it was an everyday thing. It just wasn't whenever they went to worship. Can you imagine being in the house, probably having to help out with the other children, having to see that each and every day, wanting that so desperately? She compared herself, and I believe that she probably felt less valuable to her husband. And you know, that's the lies that the enemy tries to tell us. That's how we get brought down. That's the things that start making us not have confidence. But she was not less valuable. She was just as valuable in God's eyes as his other wife, Peninnah, who had given him children. Hannah was not less valuable. She was still as valuable. And you know, sometimes we compare ourselves to other moms, other dads, other families, right? That's a big one. Whenever you are raising a family, and especially when your kids are vocal enough and old enough to say, why is this family have this and we have that, right? Comparison. Hannah dealt with this on a daily basis. We compare salaries. We compare possessions. We compare all these things. But I want you to know that comparison is one of the main things that will steal your confidence. Comparison. We cannot compare ourselves. We have to run our own race and be confident in that race. So Hannah definitely dealt with comparison. Another thing that Hannah dealt with was conflict, probably on a daily basis. Hannah probably dealt with conflict relationally and family-wise because, again, she has this woman that has all the things that she wants, so she's having to deal with that conflict. But she's also dealing with conflict within herself. Something that you can't even see. And so she is dealing with these things, and conflict is something else that could just steal our confidence. Whenever we constantly are in conflict with something or someone, right? And so it's easy just to say, I'm not dealing with that anymore. I'm gonna kind of tuck tail and go another way. That is not a confident person. So that will steal your confidence. I remember a time that my confidence was so shattered. Wade and I had just got engaged, and I was so excited, and I had this internal conflict going on about who was going to give me away at my wedding, right? So I was in school full-time at Southeastern Louisiana University at that time. I had transferred from LSU to Southeastern, and so I decided to sit out a semester, right, because I didn't have a mom or a dad. I didn't have any siblings, so if we're going to save money to get married, Wade and I need to save some money to get married, right? So I had sat out. I began to save money, and we were engaged. You know how you are when you're engaged. You're making these plans, and how many of you go through this? I want to do this, 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 and this, but we have money to do this, right? And so we just worked hard. We saved money. People blessed us. I'll never forget, there was one woman. Her name is Anita Ducote. Every Sunday, she would come up to me, and she would reach over and hug me, and she would put a $100 bill in my hand. And she would whisper in my ear, put that towards your dress. And then next Sunday, she'd do the same thing, and there was a $100 bill. She was a gap filler. She filled a massive gap in my life. She would slip another $100 bill in my life and hug in my hand and hug me and whisper in my ear, put that towards your dress. And the next Sunday, and then can I tell you, my dress didn't cost that many hundreds of dollars, but I surely did use that money for something for our wedding. But you know, I was excited, and I had a person in my life that stood in and was a father figure to me. It was my best friend's dad. And I lived with their family in high school, and he treated me like a real dad. Like, I had a curfew. I had expectations. I had chores. It was awesome. Whenever young people, students, whenever you have these things and you don't like them, I promise you, for a person that didn't have any of those things, whenever someone encouraged me and expected me to do something and expected me to be home at a certain time, it meant that they loved me. It meant that I mattered to them. And whenever you don't have that, it is so amazing that somebody expects me to be home at a certain time. Don't take advantage of your parents and the people in your life that love you so much that they are concerned about where you're at and what you're doing. Amen? And so there's this man that played such a vital role in my life, and that's who I wanted to give me away at my wedding, because he was that father figure. But you know, that internal conflict of, or as Hannah had, a family conflict, I had this uncle. Well, my dad had passed away, and I had an uncle, and you know, I kind of felt obligated to ask him to give me away because I felt like that would have been the right thing to do. Even though I had this conflict going on, that's not really who I wanted to give me away, but I always wanted to honor my family. I wanted to do the right thing, even if it wasn't really what I wanted to do. So I remember it was Christmas Eve. I will never forget this, and I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to know that God has healed me of this. But we went there. We had our gifts. And Wade was there, and Wade and I was so proud of Wade, and it's kind of like, here we are, and we're engaged, and I'm going to have a great family. So we went over to my aunt and uncle's house, and we were there, and I was waiting for a good opportunity to ask him to give me away at our wedding. And so I can remember he was kind of a non-emotional kind of man. You know, he wasn't a hugger or an encourager or anything like that, but he was my dad's brother. And after my mom died when I was 5, I actually lived with them for a certain period of time. And so he was in my life, but so I remember we were sitting down in the living room on the floor and people had begun to hand out their gifts. You know how you do that? It's kind of like, okay, these 3 are for you and these 2 are for you. And so we're all sitting there. And so finally we were all in one room. And I thought, well, this will be the time to do it. So I said, Uncle Bernard, I have something to ask you. And everybody was watching in the whole room, right? And so he said, yeah. And I said, I was wondering if you would give me away at Wade and I's wedding. And he said, I will not do that. And I thought maybe it was a joke, not that he was a jokester. So I kind of sat there for a second, and he just kept rocking in his rocking chair. And I remember asking, what's that? And he said, you'll need to find somebody else to do that. I'm not doing that. And I was crushed. The little bit of confidence I had, I'm talking about, was sucked out of me. And I'll never forget my fiance, all 20 years old, 19, 18. What were you? He was young. When we got married, he was 19. So he was either 18 or 19 years old. I'm telling you, he stood up. He said, get your things, Cynthia. And he made an announcement at that time in that living room. He said, you will never have to take care of her another day of her life. She's mine now, and I'm going to take care of her. And she's going to have the best family she's ever had. And he has done that. And my confidence that comes from God, my God confidence, has been restored. But I can remember that conflict of wanting someone to do it, but trying to honor someone. And, you know, we find ourselves in many different situations where what we want to do doesn't match up with what we should do, but is what we should do the right thing? I don't know. And we have this internal turmoil of trying to make a decision and figure out what's going on. That's something that Hannah dealt with on a daily basis. And you know, conflict will strip you of your confidence. Hannah also dealt with condemnation. Imagine the internal conversations that she had that she didn't say out loud on a daily basis to herself. Internal condemnation. Always telling yourself how you're not going to do it, how you can't do it, how they would never pick you to do it. You're not the one that's first on the list, right? Internal condemnation. It's something that Hannah lived with on a daily basis. I think a lot of us deal with as well. Also, Hannah dealt with feeling incomplete. She was missing something that she thought she needed, and she thought it was a baby. But when what she really needed was some affirmation from her father, right? And so Hannah felt so incomplete, and what she needed, and in that scripture it says, she went and all these things were happening to her, and then she pulled herself together. You know, sometimes we as women, when we have had enough, like everyone in the house knows it, right? It's kind of like all the atmosphere has changed. The tone has changed. The eyeball communication has changed. My children know immediately when this thing is changing right now, right? I know I'm not the only mama. I can communicate more with these eyeballs than I can with some words, I promise you. But she pulled herself together, and I believe that's where she was like, that's it. I'm not having this. I'm not dealing with this. And she slipped quietly into the sanctuary, which means she just slipped off and found some time to be with Jesus. She may have went in and worshiped. She may have went in and read some of the scripture, but she pulled herself together and slipped out quietly into the sanctuary. And you know, we all need to find a time to pull ourselves together when we're in this pit of woe is me and I am not confident. Pull ourselves together and slip off and have some time with Jesus. We need some affirmation in our lives. We need God to remind us who we are, what he says we can do, what we're going to do. We need to be reminded of who we are in him. And so we need to slip away and do that. And so this is something that you really need to know as a mom, as a dad, as someone who is filling a gap. We cannot give what we do not have. We cannot give what we do not have. We have got to get ourselves together, slip away, and hear what God has to say about us. Not what people are saying, not what our situation is saying, not how we feel. We cannot trust our feelings. We cannot trust our feelings. We have to know what is true and stand on that. You know, I think of my children when they were younger. You know, when they're 5 years old, they cannot speak affirmation into my life. I have to do that. And so we have to know where we can get that type of relationship from. You know, affirmation comes from someone in authoritative position in your life. It can be someone you look up to, someone you've submitted your life to, an accountability partner, someone that can speak into your life that you trust. And you don't just want the cupcake version all the time, right? Because that's the things that feel good, the cupcake version. But we really need to find somewheres where we can get some good affirmation in our life. And the first place is the Word of God. The Word of God is going to tell us who we are. But make sure you are surrounding yourselves with relationships that can affirm you as well. And so she needed that affirmation to remind her, I can make it. I can do this. I can go home tonight to my house and I can make it. She needed to be reminded of that. She needed that confidence. And so that's why I want to talk about confidence today. I think it is so important. And it's not just any confidence that we need. It's some God confidence. You know, we have some self-confidence that's helping in our lives, you know, where we get in the mirror and it's like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I'm going to do this. Okay, I cannot mess this up. We got this. You got this. You know, have you ever told yourself these things where you know you need to get something done? But in the same breath, I can say, who am I fooling? I cannot do this. I cannot do this. What was I thinking? Why did I say I would do this? For example, right now, as I stand here speaking to you, why did I say I would do this? Why would I do this? Why does he ask me to do this? But you know, we cannot, our feelings, our self-confidence cannot be trusted. God confidence can be trusted. Amen? Amen. And so when it comes to self-confidence, things that trip us up and people I see are like there's some people that you may know and have in your life that you need to recognize, right? So you got your people pleasers, the ones that are just trying to say yes to everything. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, you look great. Yes, I think that's a great decision to maybe leave your husband. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I think you should not go to your child's baseball game. Yes, you look great. Yes, that is very healthy. Yes, yes, people pleasers. So these people are not going to bring confidence into our lives. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with people that are not people pleasers. I see a group of people that grow in self-confidence, the fishers, you know, the ones that maybe put something out and are fishing for a compliment. You know, like, oh, here's a picture, and I know this is not the greatest, and I didn't have a great day today, and it was really hard today, and you know, you've seen these posts, you've seen these, heard these conversations, people that are just trying to get something from somebody. These people need to pull themselves together and find themselves in the sanctuary to get some God confidence. We can compliment people, and I think we should when it's genuine, and that's what you mean. We need to compliment people. We need to be each other's biggest cheerleader, right? But we cannot fish for our confidence from people. People will let us down every time. We have got to get ourselves together and get what God is saying about us. And then this is my favorite way to not have a couple that's friends of ours that we love dearly, but they definitely fall into the one upper category. You know, like, hey, we're going on a 3-day trip down to Destin this weekend. We're kind of excited about it. And, you know, they're like, that's awesome. We just booked a 7-day trip to an unknown island that no one's ever been to. The one-uppers. You have these people in your life? You know, I read one chapter of the Bible today, and let me tell you about this one verse when I was soaping, and I wrote this down, and it was really good, and it spoke to me. And it's like, that is so good. You know, today I read two chapters in the Greek, and I translated, and it's like, so it's like, you know, you get this one word from God that just really pumps you up, and then it's like someone comes and sucks the confidence of that right out of you. It's like, what am I doing? They're reading the Greek. I'm barely reading English and getting to work on time, and you know, yeah, two shoes that are the same on, you know? And so, you know, or like, you know, oh man, I had the flu last week, but I'm doing much better. And, you know, oh man, you know, I've just got over something and they don't even know what it was. Some new disease. I think they're going to name it after me, you know? So those people, you want to talk about someone that'll suck some confidence out of you, right? We have got to watch out for these people who are so deep and rooted in self-confidence that it does not affect us, that we forget where we get our confidence from. We don't get our confidence from people. We get our confidence from God, amen? The tragedy of all of this is it keeps us from doing our best. We want to do our best. We want to follow God's dreams. We want to be living out God's plan for us. And it keeps us from going on the interview, right? Because we're afraid someone's going to tell us no. It keeps us from maybe going back to school because we had this dream of doing this and it was a God dream. And I kept pushing it aside. The tragedy is all of this stuff will keep us from the things that God wants us to do. It'll keep you from leading an e-group because what will they say and who will show up? Because that's where I'm going to get my confidence is, you know, what my numbers are. And who got on Facebook and said that I just came from an awesome e-group today, and they're talking about your e-group, right? That's not where our confidence is coming from. Our confidence needs to be coming from our Father. Let me read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says, forget about self-confidence. It is useless. Cultivate God confidence. How amazing is that scripture? Completely forget about self-confidence. It's completely useless. We should not focus on self-confidence. Our hearts are deceitful. Our feelings are not reliable. You know, like, oh, I love that. I love that. And then it's like, I don't like that at all. Right? I mean, this is like people on a daily basis. This is sometimes me. My flesh is weak. We don't always want to do what we should do. You know, like make the phone call that we need to make because it's going to be uncomfortable. Or, you know, we should get 8 hours of sleep. I know that. I know that's the right thing for me to do. But I'm going to stay up to 1 o'clock and do these things. And then I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock. And like we cannot rely on our self-confidence. Our behavior is inconsistent. Now, I am the queen of this. And I know it. And I'm working on it. But man, like, for example, I would go through phases, right? Where like, oh, I'm doing this and I got this and this is what I'm going to do. For example, I have went through a phase where I was really trying to get healthy. I was working out 3 times a week and man, I had my shoes, I had my clothes. I mean, I had all, you know, all my stuff. I had this little heart monitor that was like, you know, I watched the screen making sure it was like in what, okay, it's not in red. It got to be yellow. It's in green. I got to speed up all this stuff. And then the alarm would go off. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I cannot be trusted, right? I have all the stuff. And I would say, I am not doing this. I need to sleep. I need to get my rest, right? And so we come up with all this stuff where it my behavior was inconsistent with what I was trying to do. Our confidence in ourselves cannot be trusted. Depending on our confidence can set us up for failure if that's the only place that we plan on getting our confidence. We need to find God confidence. Amen? Psalms 57:7 says, "My heart is confident in you. Oh God, my heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises." Our hearts have got to be confident in him. So I want to talk about three truths that's going to help you cultivate some God confidence in your life. And the first truth that I want to talk about is my God is always for me. All the time, it doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what I planned and didn't follow through with. It doesn't matter if I've checked off all the boxes. I'm a big checker. I like a planner, paper. I don't want one on my phone. I want paper, and I'm going to check boxes, right? And if I have done things throughout the day and I have no checks on the things that I thought I needed to do, I'm so smart. I go at the bottom of the list, and I begin to write the things I did do so that I could put a check. Right? Because that means I have been successful that day. I know that's crazy, but it works for me, right? And so we have got to, where's my honey? My God is always for me. God is not out to get us. He is always for us all the time, day in and day out. I think of God, our Father, is a better parent than I will ever be. I am striving to be a good parent. I want to be a good parent. The way that I grew up as a child, I knew that I would love my children unconditionally and be there at everything. I want the best for them. I want them to succeed. If they want to play something and do something, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm the loudest one on the field. You will know I am there. I am excited for them. If they want to do something, I'm behind them. If they want to try something new, I think you can do it. God is even better than that. On my best day, he's better than me. God is for you. God is for me at all times. We should never second guess that. That is a truth to cultivate God confidence within our hearts. If we're trying to do something and we're afraid and we're relying on our own confidence, or we're fishing for someone to encourage us, oh my gosh, I'm nervous about a big thing today. Somebody please tell me something. We need to know that God is always for me, no matter what is a truth. And that's where we get good confidence at. I want to be the one that runs the race with my children chasing down God dreams. I don't want them to leave me behind. Whatever it is that they feel like God's called them to do, whatever that looks like, we're chasing it down. God confidence. God is always with me. The second truth that I want to share with you is my God always helps me. I want to read Hebrews 13:5-6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence that the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. We talked about this last week. Wade talked about this. He talked about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always with us. God sent us his Holy Spirit to be our helper. And he walks beside us. In the Bible, it says that he is, the word is paraclete, which means one who walks beside me. He's not up front trying to clear things out just so that you can just come walking through with no issues. He's not behind you trying to clean up your mess. He is right beside you. He never leaves you. You do not have to look for him. He is with you. God is always with you. For that student that is fixing to take finals here in a couple of weeks, God is for you. He wants you to pass. He doesn't want you to fail. He's the one person that wants you to pass everything all the time. He is for you. For that couple who is trying to get ahead financially, God is with you. He is for you. He knows you can succeed. For a sister who may be trying to reconcile a broken relationship, he is for you. He wants it to work out more than you do. For a parent that's praying for a miracle, God is with you. He's the God of miracles. God is for us. God is with us. He has given us this confidence that we need. For that person thinking about starting a new business, but you're afraid, God is with you. He is for you. He wants you to succeed. We talked about this Holy Spirit being with us. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know what to say. I've said this a lot. Oh, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. God, help me. Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I need your help. I need your help. Amen? So God is always here to help me. The third truth that I want to share with you is my God is still working in me. If you feel like you have not gotten to where you need to be, God is still working. You cannot give up on yourself. God is not giving up on you. I can remember, let me get some of my Diet Coke here. My goodness. Whenever our children were walking, you know, all you moms, you have your kids walking. So, you know, like Wade's on one side of the room and I'm on the other side of the room. And it's like, oh, you can do it. You can do it. You can. And he takes like one step and we're like, celebrate touchdown. Oh my God. He's the best walker there ever. I mean, like, he is still working. We didn't give up on Elijah when he took one step and fell down. It's like, oh, he's never going to walk. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with him. I mean, what do you do with a kid that doesn't walk? I mean, he tried, he failed. No. I mean, who? You know how you guys are when this is going on. I can remember Judah, when he began to walk, he just ran. There was no walking. It's just like up, run, which, you know, hindsight, looking back on your children, you realize those times when they were little, it's kind of like, I should have known then. I should have known then. But we sit there and we are excited. We encourage. We say, you can do it. Come on, take a step. You can do it. You can do it. If we can do that, imagine how God is encouraging you. He is still working on you. He's not giving up. He's not going to see that you fell down and said, just forget it. I'll look for somebody else. He is wanting you to do it. He is working in you. Don't give up on yourself. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that God who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Be confident that God has started something in you. He will complete it. He will complete it. You don't have to wonder if, but you have to know, you have to have some God confidence that he will complete it. He will complete it. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on yourself. Be confident that God is going to complete it. And so we have these three truths: that God is for me, God helps me, and God is always working in me. And this is what gives us confidence. We don't have to look anywhere else but there to know that God is with us. He is giving us all the confidence that we need. And so dealing with all of this that Hannah had, Hannah and you and I deal with comparison, conflict, condemnation, that feeling of being incomplete on the inside. Maybe you feel like you're failing in some areas. Some things that you really set out to do and you really feel like you gave it your all and it's just not working out the way that you planned, you need to pull yourself together and you need to get in a place where you can hear God so softly speak to you. Always keep your ears open. Never ignore the whispers of the Holy Spirit. You know those things where we go, what am I thinking? That's crazy, right? Don't ignore those whispers of the Holy Spirit. Some of the best things I've ever done in life started out as a whisper in my heart that I thought, what am I thinking? And surely don't tell anybody, right? Because somebody might hold me accountable for a big God dream that I feel like he's whispering on the inside of me. Don't ignore those things. We need to be thankful we're not striving in self-confidence. It's going to let you down every time. If we're relying on ourselves to accomplish the things that God has told us we're going to do, if we're going to rely on our own efforts and talents and gifts, those things come from God, but we got to have him. We have to have some good God confidence in our lives. He will complete the work that he's begun in you. He will not ever give up on you. So this morning, if you would bow your heads with me, I'm going to read this last scripture from Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, for which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news." You see, Hannah's story continued, and Hannah stayed faithful. Hannah never gave up. She went day in and day out believing in what God told her. She would pull herself together and slip off into the sanctuary and allow God to affirm her and speak to her. She didn't give up. She stayed faithful, and God blessed her with a son. She named him Samuel, and she dedicated him back to the Lord. We cannot give up, y'all. We have got to keep going. God was for Hannah. God helped Hannah, and God continued to work in Hannah. And if you're someone here this morning that needs to pull yourself together, just like Hannah did, just like I do, just like a bunch of us do, I want you just to slip a hand up real quick this morning, because we're going to pray together that God, in his presence, that you're going to receive some God confidence this morning. You're going to know who you are and what God says about you. And we're going to pray together this morning. I see those hands. Any other hands? Amen. Amen. Guys, we can be so effective for ourselves and our families if we walk in God confidence. And it's available to us. It's available to you and I each and every day. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for every hand that has been raised today, God. I thank you, God, for people being honest with themselves and saying, God, I need to stop relying on my confidence, but I need you, God. The things that you have whispered, God, in the hearts and spirits of the people in this room, Father, is going to require God confidence in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, God, that at this moment, God, that we would begin to see ourselves the way that you see us. God, that we will be able to speak the things over ourselves that you say about us. God, that we're going to walk in confidence, knowing, God, that you are with us, God, that you never leave us or forsake us. God, that we're going to know, God, that you are for us. God, that you will help us every step of the way, God, and you will continue each day to work in us to complete what you have started. God, we say, each and every one of us in here, use us mightily, God, to impact those around us, our children, those that you have placed in our paths, God. Let us be the ones carrying God confidence to encourage those around us that there is more than seeking out self-confidence. God, that there is someone that believes in us like no one else believes in us. Father, I thank you, God, that today, God, that we're going to walk, God, with our heads held high, knowing that you are with us. And you will be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, give it up. Wasn't that incredible?